Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janava
Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadigur, Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhishama Sunda Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamunwani Ki Jai, Ganga Mani Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Krishnaya Vitale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami, Namo Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Kaurani Chari, Namashesha, Sundari, Vaskatarde, Karande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Kuto Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Apadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narad Narayan Rishi, the supermost human beings, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. What does irrevocable mean? I was thinking today I was going to talk more to the boys, because I have a tendency to the older boys. I have a tendency to ignore them. Okay, what does irrevocable mean?
Come on, what
is irrevocable? No, Hari Das, do you have a clue? Something that's certain. I always used to mispronounce it, personally, and always say irrevocable, you know? Because you can't take it back. It's there. So by attending the classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service, one gets a transcendental benefit that can never be taken away. So it's always like permanently there. Little by little, more and more we put into that spiritual account, and more the heart becomes cleansed, the consciousness becomes cleansed, and the knowledge that's already there in the heart, it's already there, just covered over by a few trillion pounds of things, it starts to come cleansed off. Okay, so today we're reading in the 11th canto. It's chapter 19. It's called The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. We're doing text 28 through 32. The devotees have grouped them together because it is a series of questions by Uddhava, as you can tell. So we'll just repeat the first verse, you know, me and you, and then we'll just go through the others all together. Sri Uddhava Uvacha, Yamakati Vidha Prokto, Yamakati Vidha Prokto, Niyamo Varikarsana. Niyamo Varikarsana Kashama Kodama Krishna Kashama Kodama Krishna Katitiksha Driti Prabho Katitiksha Driti Prabho Sri Uddhava Uvacha Yamakati Vidha Prokto Niyamo Varikarsana Kashama Kodama Krishna Katitiksha Driti Prabho Sri Uddhava Uvacha Niyamo Varikarsana Kashama Kodama Krishna Katitiksha Driti Prabho Sri Uddhava Uvacha Yamakati Vidha Prokto Niyamo Varikarsana Kasama Kodama Krishna Katitiksha Driti Prabho Sri Uddhava Uvacha Yamakati Vidha Prokto Niyamo Varikarsana Kashama Kodama Krishna
Katatik Shadriti Prabhu. Shri Uddhava Uvacha. Aprokto. Niyamo Varikarsana. Kashama Kodama Krishna. Katatik Shadriti Prabhu. Shri Uddhava Uvacha. Yama Kativita Prokto. Niyamo Varikarsana. Kashama Krodama Katatik Shadriti Prabhu. Shri Uddhava Uvacha. Yamakati Vida Prokto. Niyamo Varikarsana. Kashama Kodama Krishna. Katatik Shakti Prabhu. Shri Uddhava Uvacha. Yamakati Vidha Prokto. Niyamo Varikarsana. Kashama Kodama Krishna. Katatik Shadriti Prabhu. So can you scroll down and we'll chant the rest in unison? Okay, we'll chant this together. They're all, just for your information, Kim, Ka, Kas, Ko, Ka. It's all like who is, what is. He's all asking these questions, so it's all a different form of what. Okay, together. Kim danam kim tapasoryam kim satyam ritam uchate kastyaga kim dana chestam ko yaja ka kadakshina pumsa kim svidvilam shriman bago labas chakeshava kavidya hridi parkar shri Kim sukam dukam eva cha, ka pandita kascha murka, ka panta upatascha ka, ka svarga naraka kasvit, ko bandhur uta kim vriti, ka adya ko daridrova, kripana ka ka ishvara, Etan prasnan mama bruhi viparitams chasatpate. Okay, so back up to the first. Okay, so can you go to the first verse again, Sri Uddhava Uvacha? We can look at that. Okay, so here we're going to do the word for word in a minute, but I want you to look up there and see how many words that you already know the translation of, because there's many words in there that we hear often. Can anybody pick out a couple that they already know? Yes. That's a great one. Krishna, you're very good. Okay, another one? Thanks, that was really observant of you. Another one. How about Yama? Look at the first line, Yama, and then the second line, Niyama. Niyamo there. So Yama, Niyama. Have you heard of him? Remember him? Yama, Niyama, Brahmachari? Do you know what that means, Yama, Niyama? Means rules and regulations. What you should do, the do's and the don'ts. Do's is yama and ni, don't do's. So anything else can you pick out? Sama? Sama and dhamma, you know that one? From your Bhagavad Gita? How about titiksha? Okay. Pay attention when we do the word for word then. See if they, if you don't remember that you already know those words. Okay, Shri Uddhava, we're just going to do the word for word for the first verse, okay? Shri Uddhava Uvacha. Shri Uddhava said. Yama. Disciplinary regulations. Kati Vidha. How many different types?
Prokta.
Declared to exist.
Niyama.
Regular daily duties.
Va.
Or. Arikarshana.
O
Krishna, subduer of the enemy. Ka. What is? Sama. Mental equilibrium. Ka. What is? Dhamma. Self-control. Krishna. My dear Krishna. Ka. What is? Tatiksha. Tolerance. Dhriti.
Steadfastness.
Prabho. My Lord. Okay, can you move the screen now? And now can you tell me some of the words? Can you remember Sama? Sama? Sama. But, huh? Okay, thanks. And this guy doesn't hear well. So can they say it a little louder? Sama means? Thank you. Thanks. Mental equilibrium. We should get one that means loud voice. Oh, that probably is Nanda. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sama. Dhamma. Remember, Dhamma will go on this side. Dhamma. So mental equilibrium is Sama. Sama and Dhamma, they go together. Self-control. Sama, Dhamma. Tatiksha? Tolerance. Okay. Sama? Dhamma? Not dumber. Dhamma. Okay. And Tatiksha means tolerance. Okay. And that's what you have to do today to listen to class. You have to tolerate and be patient and everything. Okay, translation. Okay, now, get tuned in, because this verse, there's like whatever how many verses here, it's all different questions. They're not unimportant questions, they're important questions. So, but it's a whole paragraph full of questions. Like, I almost started to count them and I lost count. There's like 30 or 40 questions, okay? So guess what's going to happen at the end of the, when I finish reading it? I'm going to ask you what some of the questions are, so like, put it in, okay? Translation, Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord Krishna, O chastiser of the enemies, please tell me how many types of disciplinary regulations and regular daily duties there are." Okay, 10 extra points for whichever side can first tell me what's the Sanskrit for the disciplinary regular duties and the regular duties. What was that one? You have to, if you're going to say it for your side to get 10 points, you have to say it loud, okay? Yay! Who said that? Good girl. Yama niyama. Okay. Here, how many types of disciplinary regulations and regular dailies their duty there are? Yama and niyama. Also, my Lord, tell me, what is mental equilibrium? And what is self-control? And what is the actual meaning of tolerance? And steadfastness. Dhriti, right, we didn't say dhriti. Good girl, okay. What are charity, austerity, and heroism? And how are reality and truth to be described? Interesting, no? What is renunciation and what is wealth? What is desirable? What is sacrifice? What is religious remuneration? What does remuneration mean? What does remuneration mean? Chandramukhi. No? It means giving, offering some gift, religious remuneration, giving some dakshin. My dear Keshava, O most fortunate one, how am I to understand the strength, opulence, and profit of a particular person? What is the best education? what is actual humility and what is real beauty. There's still more, okay, so keep tuning in. What are happiness and unhappiness? Who is learned and who is a fool? What are the truth and the false paths in life? And what are heaven and hell? Who indeed is a true friend? And what is one's real home? Who is a rich man? Who is a poor man? Who is wretched? And who is an actual controller? O Lord of the devotees, kindly explain these matters to me along with their opposites. Omaginati medandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu nivitam jena tasmai shri gurudeva. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. And when you're in the darkness of ignorance, you have no clue to what the answers are to these questions. Neither do you have a clue that these questions are important to be asked. But my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and so I'm indebted to him life after life and beg for service at his lotus feet. So there's a little bit of the purport, and then we'll go back to these statements. The purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. All of the items mentioned in these five verses that are defined in different ways by different cultures and societies throughout the world. Therefore, Sri Uddhava is directly approaching the supreme authority, Lord Krishna, to obtain the standard definition of these universal aspects of civilized life. So can you remember some of the questions that Uddhava is asking from this side, from the boys' side? The boys are kind of a little lucky because I don't know very many boys' names. But I do know a few, but I don't want to pick on just the ones that I know. So, yes. Very good. What is renunciation and what is wealth? Thanks. Another one from this side? Haridas. What is the best education? That kind of struck home, right? Okay, this side. Another side. Some other questions that Uddhava asked. At least 30 questions he asked. Srinath. Who is a rich man and who is a poor man? And did you hear that thunder right before you asked that question? That means it was about to be a very prophetic question of yours. Thank you. Who is a rich man? Who is a poor man? Can you remember something else, Karuna? Learned and fool. Pandita and Murkha. Pandita and a Murkha. Murkha is a fool. Okay. Another one? Yeah, tell him, Karen. Tell him to get it. What's his... Ramananda, you must have something. No? Vasant? Who is a true friend? Would you like to know who a true friend is? Because false friends, sometimes they give you a little pain. But anyway, I'm going to refrain myself from trying to answer these questions because this verse is just posing the questions. And all the subsequent verses are going to give the answer to these questions. So when you come next week, you'll be getting some answers probably too. But the point here that we can derive from this series of verses is question and answers. Questions are really important. And quality questions are really important. So, and if you think of all of our scriptures, they're usually in the form of question and answers. So when Srimad Bhagavatam, remember, so now we're in the 11th canto, but perhaps you can remember how the Srimad Bhagavatam starts out in general, the general opening of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can somebody give me a brief explanation of how the Srimad Bhagavatam opens in relation to this question and answer theme? Like, who would be asking questions in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? Somebody who was searching for Krishna. Yes?
Arjuna.
Good, good, Arjuna. Arjuna asks questions in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He does, that's totally true. You're almost there. But in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita left off, and in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's Maharaj Parikit. Maharaj Parikit, he's asking questions because all of a sudden he's been cursed to die, and he wants to know what's the duty of someone who's about to die. Now, sometimes you don't think of that question very often as you are in the, you know, blooming of your youth. You might not be thinking. But actually, if you think a little bit more deeply, you could see, and we hear so much through our scriptures, that we're all on the verge of death. It's either sooner or later. And of course, the illusion that's in our eyes is we think it's not going to happen to me for a really long time, right? Not me. Maybe someone else got sick. Maybe someone else had a car accident. Maybe someone else had something happen. And that's really unfortunate. But I have a tendency to go forward in my life thinking that it's never going to happen. But Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, they keep reminding us and they say, hello, hello there. You're in a very precarious position and it could happen at any time. So to know what the value of life is really important. Because if you've noticed, there's a lot of distractions out there to keep your mind and senses and tongue and everything, that's part of your senses, but anyway, it's all occupied and in one sense distracted from the real self. But these series of questions are really good. So that was Maharaj Parikit's situation. What's the duty of a man to die? And then the sages have different questions and they ask Krishna. So this whole series of questions and answers lead to all the information in Bhagavatam. And also, just as like you were pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's asking questions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's giving the answers. So questioning is really important. There's a quality to the question, and then there's a way the question is presented also. So if you've noticed in life, you can say something in one way, like, Prabhu, can you please explain why you did that? Or you can say, what did you do that for? So it's the same kind of a question you want to know, but the tone is very different. In other words, your attitude is different. So if you have an attitude of submission, yes, I really want to know, and I'm asking a question from somebody who's a worthy person or who has heard from a worthy person. In other words, someone who knows about spiritual values in life, though you ask a question, a worthy question of a worthy person, then you'll get a worthy answer. Can anybody think of a book that the devotees often distribute that has something to do with worthy questions and worthy answers? Divyanga? Perfect questions and perfect answers. Yeah. So one of the devotees was asking Srila Prabhupada some questions, and they were perfect questions. They were like, more or less, what's the value of life? What's my duty? And I don't remember the rest of the questions that he asked, but he got perfect answers from Srila Prabhupada, who gave him answers that went right to his soul. Because the soul's eternal, and the bodily, temporary bodily situations, those are coming and going. But something that goes right to the soul, that is pertinent to not only the person who's asking the question, but even those people who hear the question. Those who hear the question get benefited, and anyone who hears the answer gets benefited. And guess what else? Anybody who repeats the question and the answer to explain to somebody else, they also get benefit. So there's a whole culture of asking questions in the proper mood to the proper person at the proper time and place. And even there's Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he would praise Maharaj Parikit for asking questions. He would say, your questions are glorious because they benefit you, they benefit others, they benefit everyone, and because they aim at the understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So you might also notice that sometimes it's easy to ask irrelevant questions or silly questions or, you know, just, we're not talking about that. We're talking about quality questions that have to do with actually how to make progress in spiritual life. So, like Srila Prabhupada, he often gives the examples of the birds. As soon as the birds wake up, you hear them start to chirp. And what they're asked, he said, everyone's asked, everyone all across this different species, they're all asking questions. But usually their questions have to pertain to eating and sleeping and mating and defending. Where do I get food? Where did you get those berries? So they're always asking questions, but they don't have the capacity to ask questions for their real benefit. They're forced to act like a bird, even though they have the same batteries that we do. That same soul, the same quality of a soul is there within that bird or dog or whomever. But because of the covering, it doesn't have the capacity to consider what's going on. So that's why Srila Prabhupada is always encouraging us, don't be thoughtless. Don't go through your life in a superficial way. Be thoughtful. Be questioning. What's the goal of life? How can I be happy here? Real happy. Because one of the questions that would have asked is, what is real happiness? And what is real happiness? It doesn't do to the external things. Somebody can have an external situation of poverty and difficulty and whatever and still be happy inside because they're focused on a different thing than their externals. So Srimad Bhagavatam is always, always, always trying to bring us to the point of focusing in on things that are for our eternal benefit. So sometimes when Srila Prabhupada, there's different circumstances when Srila Prabhupada would be giving a lecture, and at the end of the lecture he would ask for questions. So I can remember a few different times when someone would ask a question. And like one time Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, let's just say it was on Bhagavad Gita. I don't know exactly what his lecture was on, but let's just say it was on Bhagavad Gita. And then somebody asked a question, you know, from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, something about Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada would say, that question shouldn't be asked now. It's not that it was a bad question or anything, but I just spoke about one thing, and the question should be about that topic. So he was giving us guidelines there. Then one time somebody asked Prabhupada a question about who he was in the spiritual world, or how are we going to know who we are in the spiritual world? And now that's also a very good question. But when Prabhupada looked out at the audience and saw where everyone was at, struggling to try to even understand that they were a spirit soul and not their body, Srila Prabhupada said, first, understand you're not your body. Like, come back to the ABCs. Come back to the level where you're at. Don't ask a question on a level that you're not at, because you won't be able to understand the answer at this particular time. So he said, first understand you're not your body, and then worry about that later. Then that will be revealed to you. Anyway, so those are just some different circumstances I was thinking about the different questions in general. Does anybody have anything they want to add or question about this topic? Thank you. Sesha Prabhu.
You were going over Prabhupada's answers to questions that he got sometimes, and you were quite kind. Sometimes Prabhupada was pretty sharp and would say, why you ask that question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes questions were nonsense also.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, yeah. Why are you asking that question when you don't even understand you're not your body or something like that? Yeah. Any other, Madan Prabhu? Oh, yeah. Help me out the next. Hold on, he's bringing you the mic, sorry. He's coming. Thank you.
When you mentioned you were talking about true happiness that somebody could have, could you elaborate on like what would be like the next, you mentioned
could you
external,
speak a little louder? I'm sorry.
When you were talking about the true happiness that a person could be externally, like not, you know, in a good condition or something, what could you mention like, or just elaborate on what are like externals?
Okay.
And also, you know, how it is that you transcend those things or, you know, focus on.
Well, that's a really good question. Thank you. And actually, we'll see that these questions are answered in the upcoming verses. You know, but what I was referring to about external is happy. When we use that word, we throw it around a lot, and it usually means I'm happy because I'm eating a piece of cake or, you know, something not very deep. You know, I'm not talking about how to become happy by, you know, winning the lottery or things like that. But we're talking about how can we develop that real happiness, happiness of the soul within inside, and stay on that platform. And that takes practice. And that takes practice. And the basic practices, which are, in one sense, kind of standard answers, we need to keep hearing. We need to keep hearing and understand the difference between what the happiness of the body is and what the happiness of the soul is. Because they're not necessarily the same. You know, the mind is always accepting and rejecting things for, you know, comfort and pleasure, let's just say. But actually, real happiness has to do when we connect with our spiritual, eternal nature. And that takes an endeavor, it takes thoughtfulness, it takes practice, it takes regulation, it takes hearing. It takes a lot of hearing. That's a quick answer. Is that okay? Maybe Madan was going to elaborate, or would you like to ask something else?
I'm not sure. I was thinking that in Krishna consciousness, it's a little different than the academic progression, because you, Prabhupada would ask us for progressive realizations as we're progressing in Krishna consciousness. Mm. So the questions were relevant to our stage of realizing our relationship with Krishna and how this particular question is useful for me in my realization. So when it wasn't in that connection of how I'm to use this, then it really doesn't have, just like you can take a trip to, let's say, New York, and there's so many turns, but the next turn is actually one you don't want to miss. You know, so it's nice to know all the terms, but you have to pay attention to where you are and what's important for you.
Thanks. Mataji, I can't remember your name, but...
Prasangi,
yeah, thank you.
Thank you. This is very curious and question. I was thinking that also... what it seems to be indicating is that in order to ask intelligent questions that are meaningful and important, that means we must listen carefully to what is being said. So we have to control our minds enough not to let them wander to what I want to ask about later, to be able to focus on the present, what is information. And then what happens is questions naturally come if we're listening intently, deeply, and then we can question on those lines. So maybe Srila Prabhupada realized when those people were asking these other questions, they're not really even listening to me on what I'm
good
saying
point.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a little annoyed.
Yeah, thanks. Jai Shri Radhe?
When we ask the right questions to the right people, the right time, and it doesn't satisfy, the answers don't satisfy, and we still have doubts. What do we do with that sitting place of uncertainty?
Okay, thank you. Keep asking your questions, you know, and also pray. So just to repeat, sometimes you might ask a question, and it might be a good question, it might be a thoughtful question, it might be a question about, you know, your progress in spiritual life or how to do it or whatever, and you're asking a person who's, you know, got transcendental knowledge in some form or other, and yet the answer might not satisfy us. So what to do? So the question, my advice is to keep asking the question. And even you'll see as you read through the Bhagavatam, sometimes Srila Prabhupada puts something in a certain way, and sometimes he'll put it in a different way, or even just slightly different way, and that somehow that slight difference makes it, you know, there's something there that attracts you, or you can understand, or you can grab on better. So also too, maybe this is not the intent or your question, but it reminded me of something. Sometimes when we're reading or hearing or something, we get things that we just don't understand, and perhaps even at this point don't agree with. We don't understand. It seems weird or whatever. So then what could be our attitude? What should be our attitude? A proper attitude would be a prayerful attitude. At this particular point in my sojourn, I'm having difficulty with this, and I can't accept it, or doubts are a sign of intelligence. It's not that we shouldn't have any doubts, but we should know how to deal with our doubts, which is also an art. But and so we can pray for the ability to understand, and then pray for the ability to hear the explanation, because actually it's happened to me time and time again personally, and also I've seen it in other people. Ask a question from something that we're reading, and then in the next couple of pages, there's the answer. You know, because these Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're living scripture. They're not just antiquated encyclopedias that don't have, you know, they're living scriptures. It's a, you know, it's Krishna himself who's personified give us transcendental information. So he's guiding us. So if we have questions in our reading, have a prayerful attitude and pray and listen. Keep your ears and eyes open, because the answer might come in so many different ways, you know. And also if you have a question that you've personally asked somebody and it didn't really quite satisfy you, that's okay too. That's okay too. Just keep it there. Think it over. Think it through different ways and ask. Keep asking. That's my advice. Does anyone have any other advice they'd like to give on that? Anyway, that's my advice. Keep asking, you know. And now my question to you is, should we end here, or should we talk a little bit about Vrindavan Das Thakur? Okay, I'll do a little bit. I'll do 3 minutes. Oh, 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes on Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he was a great acharya. He came a little bit after, I've read two different reports, he came a little bit after Lord Chaitanya, or he was born just as Lord Chaitanya was about to take sannyas, whatever. But right around the time, close to the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So his mother's name was Narayani. Now Narayani's a little famous because she's mentioned right in Chaitanya Charitamrita herself. Lord Chaitanya says to Narayani, well, he's talking to Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur, the situation is he's a little bit in anxiety, because at that time the Muslims were in charge of the countryside and they were persecuting the Vaishnavas. So there was a little bit of a rumor going along that Srivas Thakur was going to be raided by the government, because the people were complaining that he was having these loud kirtans. And there was the rumor that they were going to take his house and throw it into the Ganges and plunder all his wealth and everything. So he was in anxiety, and Lord Chaitanya could sense that. And he said to him, don't worry. That governor can't come here unless I, who am the super soul in his heart, give him the instructions to come here, and I'm not going to do that. And even if by chance he comes anyway, even though I've told him in his heart not to, he said, still, I'll be the first one to protect you. And so Lord Chaitanya then was kind of going on, saying, and I'm going to go, if he would come here, then I would go up to him and challenge him to bring all of his learned all of his learned mulas together and see if they can invoke love of Godhead in anyone that's listening to them. And they won't be able to do that. But I can do that. I'll go there and I'll invoke love of Godhead in everyone. Just watch. And he gave the example there. He said, Narayani, come here. And she was just 4 or 5 years old. And he said to her, Narayani, come here and chant and dance in love of Godhead. And she immediately started to exhibit ecstatic symptoms because Lord Chaitanya invested her with ecstatic symptoms. She also got to eat the remnants of food from Lord Chaitanya often. And so from her womb, Vrindavan Das Thakur was born. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he would praise Vrindavan Das Thakur, who wrote about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was also known as Chaitanya Mangal. Hare Krishna. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Uddhava's question.